Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Working Out God. Today we have a very exciting guest for you guys. Her name is Lloydette Bymarrow and she is a solicitor advocate in criminal law and one of the UK's leading anti-corruption experts. She is the managing partner of Parametric Global Consulting, a corporate investigations and compliance consultancy firm. She has over 15 years of experience as a lawyer, specializing in economic crime, investigations and compliance with clients including multinational organizations, corporations and institutions. Lloydette has an exceptional track record of leading and managing high-profile and sensitive investigations. She has a background of prosecuting complex, multi-jurisdictional criminal cases as a senior government lawyer in various departments, including the Crown Prosecution Service, His Majesty's Revenue and Customs Prosecution Office, and the Serious Fraud Office. As a portfolio non-executive director, she draws on her leadership and corporate governance expertise to contribute to strategy development and implementation. Lloydette currently serves as a commissioner for the Gambling Commission, is on the chair of Spotlight on Corruption, and trustee for the Unite Foundation. She sits on the Conduct Committee for an accountancy regulator, ICAEW, and is on the legal panel of Whistleblowers UK. She is a reputable international speaker and lecturer on ethics, compliance, governance, and economic crime issues. So welcome, Lloydette. We are so excited to get into it today with you.
Thank you both for the invitation to be part of this. I absolutely love what you're both doing, and so it's really great to be part of it.
Lloydette, you know, we've invited you today because in my world, at least, you are the one person that I have been recently made aware that you were very clear about knowing what you wanted to do in terms of your calling or what you felt God had called you to. So we've had many conversations with other guests where things haven't been so clear. And so that's the first question I have for you is, how did you know to go down the legal route, this was the will of God for your life?
I wouldn't necessarily say that I knew it was the will of God when I made the decision, to be perfectly frank. The initial decision to become a lawyer was made probably when I was about 6 or 7. And I was talking to my late grandmother about something and being very animated and very probably quite difficult to deal with. And she said, well, if you want to argue with me or you want to have the right to argue with me, why don't you go off and be a lawyer? Okay. And I thought, well, that's exactly what I'll do then. I will go off and be a lawyer because that's what I need to be able to argue with my grandma. And it was a decision that was made in a moment, but strangely enough, I was resolute in that decision pretty much for the rest of my journey up until the point that I went to university, where I thought, this law degree is really deathly boring and I'm not sure this whole lawyer thing is really what I'm cut out to do. Nevertheless, I persisted and eventually became a lawyer. But I think for me, in terms of when did I really see the will of God, or when was it established in me that this was the will of God for my life to go down this route, was probably when I had done my law degree. I had done the legal practice course, which is what you needed to do at that time to qualify as a solicitor. And I really saw God very clearly speak to me about the next phase when, both of you will probably recognize this from having people who have either tried to qualify as lawyers successfully or unsuccessfully, how difficult and challenging that process can be.
Yeah.
And I saw God literally just speak to me, or heard him speak to me really clearly about the next step and gave me instructions and direction and kept me encouraged, even in the times where it was like there were so many no's. but God gave me a clear path through. So I think part of it was probably my stubbornness at the beginning. And then the other part of it was like, well, God's like, well, we're on this track, so let's keep going.
Yeah. So was that resolution in the early days purely just to argue with your grandma?
No, it you know, I say that jokingly. Yeah. I think when I look back at that time, I absolutely think that there was a part of me. And when I look at what are my values, what are my principles, what are the things that drive me? I have a really innate and strong sense of hate and injustice.
Yeah.
I feel quite passionate about having my voice heard and the ability to be able to make an impact. Even as a child,
yeah,
I never saw my life being limited by other people's expectations of me. And I absolutely, with a passion, hated being in a position where I was being treated unfairly. And I think that sort of innate sense of hating injustice and being driven by that was probably aligned with my sort of much more challenging 6-year-old, 7-year-old child being like, yes, this is what I want to do. I think there's a big part of me that was driven by that, which yeah. is I want to make a difference. I want to make it have an impact. Mm. And I really want to challenge and be in a position where I can affect those who are unjustifiably treated badly, or be in a position where I can speak against and, you know, speak about injustice. So I think those are the sort of the key drivers.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, in our kind of introduction of yourself and your career to date, many would hear that and just think that it's been success all the way throughout, right? That the last 20 something years has just been smooth sailing for you. Could you share and elaborate on those years or those seasons where it seemed incredibly challenging, and that although that you knew this is what God was calling you to, what were the signs, or what were the encouragements that you were receiving during those years of waiting or navigating that could, you know, give us a more holistic insight into your journey?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, you know, the first thing that I'm viscerally responding to is when you say 20 something years, I'm thinking, aren't I just 25?
Yes, 25 forever, absolutely.
Yeah, that's exactly, I say that, and people know this, I say this all the time. I feel like after 25, it's like I've stopped counting. When you get called auntie by people that look like adults themselves, no. Like, whoa. Whoa, this thing is real. I think I would break the journey up into a couple of different parts. I think the first part of it wasn't for me was going to university and, you know, qualifying or finishing university, and I got a 2-2. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, how on earth am I going to become a lawyer?
Yeah.
With a 2-2 degree, right? I am this young Black woman from Sierra Leone, who grew up in South London I didn't know any lawyers. I didn't know any lawyers in my network. I didn't have anybody who I could say, this, you know, can you point me in the right direction? And I just felt at that moment, I remember getting my degree and felt this overwhelming sense of despair and disappointment. And I thought, well, this is never going to happen now. This is never going to happen. If this is, you know, I'm looking at my life thinking there are people who've got first class degrees, you've got 2-1s from, you know, amazing. And I went to a lovely university and a really good one, but, you know, Oxford and Cambridge and everywhere else and the red bricks, and they're struggling to get training contracts, which is what you need to qualify as a lawyer, as a solicitor. And here am I, I've got a 2-2 degree. How on earth is this going to happen? And the Lord gave me a word that just really soothed my soul, because he gave me a word and just said, keep going. And I thought, am I going to invest any more money in this journey? I have to go to and do the legal practice course. Like, what's the point of doing this? The likelihood of me getting a training contract and being able to qualify as a lawyer is literally disappearing in front of my eyes. What's the point of trying? But I just felt that the Lord has said, keep going. So I did. I went off. I applied for a student loan with the bank. Like, I felt like a real adult. And then I went off to what was then the College of Law in London, left Sussex, came back to London, and did the legal practice course. And I remember just loving that and thinking, yes, this is exactly what it is. I'm able to put what I've learned into practice. I'm maybe going to be able to serve my clients. And then I finished. But you know what? What I wanted to reflect on actually is that during that course, I remember feeling so inadequate because I was surrounded by people in a weird mix where there were some people who had training contracts and they had this plan mapped out in front of them. And then there were others who didn't. And yet we were all in this place of trying to do this course and passing it. And I remember feeling so inadequate amongst these group of people who all had a plan, who could see what the future would hold. And there was, they felt that it felt like my life was so uncertain at that time.
Yeah.
And yet the Lord just said, keep going. And I was with a group of girls who I sort of spent the year with. And I remember there was a time that came after we all finished our exams and everybody went off. All of them had training contracts. All of them had a job to go to and I didn't. And so, like, we tried to keep in touch after we finished our course. And there was a couple of times that we met up. And I think maybe it was the third time. And I thought, I can't do this, you know. And I just lied. I just said something. I told them a lie. And I said, I can't make it for whatever reason. But I just didn't want to be around these people who had a plan and who were now walking in their calling or walking in, you know, they actually had a job to go to. And I was the only one that didn't have a training contract. And I just felt inadequate. And in the midst of all of that, God just kept saying, keep going. And actually, there was a time where the Lord really chastised me after this moment when I didn't go to this event that we all had or this catch up. And he said, never be ashamed of your journey.
Yeah.
Never be ashamed of your journey. Never be ashamed of your journey because I've got you. So that's kind of the sort of first half of it. And then I think the second half of it is really then finding a job, not a legal job. I was a PA in my first job, worked in a fantastic role actually. And then eventually I went to work for what was then Revenue and Customs Prosecution Office. And I remember going into that role and there's a scripture in Isaiah. And the Lord said to me, I think it's in Isaiah 48, but he said that my word will never return unto me void.
Yeah. Yes.
And I haven't got the scripture to hand, but I'll find it in a moment. And that was my anchor scripture for the longest period of time, because the Lord had said it. And so I stood on that word. It's Isaiah 55, verse 11. And it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth.
Yeah.
It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please.
Yeah.
And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And literally, God showed me that word and said, this is what I have for you. And so you trust me in this journey. And even when I faced hurdles in that process, I kept going back to Isaiah 55, verse 11. And I said, the word of God over my life will not return unto him void,
but
it will prosper in the thing that he sent. It will accomplish everything that God has spoken over my life. It will not return unto him void. And see, even when I applied for the government legal service training contract the first time, and I was unsuccessful, like I missed it by a couple of marks. And I remember sobbing my heart out. The word of the Lord was still the same. And I think what I want to crystallize here is that God will not always send a new word. But he will give you something that you can hang on to. And I think oftentimes I see that sometimes we are looking for new and fresh revelation.
Yeah.
but we haven't actually worked out what God has for us and the word that he already sent to us.
Yeah.
And so in that moment, I was very much like, but Lord, but you said this, you promised me this. This is your word in Isaiah 55, verse 11. How can it be that I've worked up to this moment and yet I haven't met the standard? Or in my eyes, I hadn't met the standard. And he said, my word will not return unto me void. And so I'm going to cut that short to say, then obviously the next time that the competition was run, I was one of the successful candidates. And as they say, the rest is history. I was able to qualify as a lawyer within the government legal service. I remember the day it happened, and I got this letter in my office. I was called into a room and I was given this letter. It's going to sound really funny, but I don't know whether I was given the letter or whether somebody came to me and told me, and I literally, in the middle of the corridor of my office, sank to my knees. I remember that so clearly, sinking to my knees and saying, thank you, Jesus, and like crying my eyes out, like in the middle of an open plan office, people.
Wow.
Like it was, but I was so unashamed because it was the journey that God had taken me on to bring me to this moment. And all I needed to do was to give him glory. And I didn't care who saw me, what they thought of me, but I just remember sinking to my knees right there in the middle of the corridor. And it was like, it wasn't like this moment of like, oh my gosh, it was just, there was a huge amount of peace that God had given me throughout the whole process. And it was just the perfection of his word that I saw, and just the beauty of seeing God's word come to pass. So many bumps along the way, but God's word was faithful.
Yeah.
God is faithful.
Can I jump in with a question off the back of that? Because obviously you started out and it was not smooth sailing at the beginning. And then you've gotten to the point where now you've essentially achieved success. And qualified, doing well, you're having this moment of reverence with God. Were there any times after you had qualified and were doing quite well in your career that on the outside it looks like it's all success, but it was actually quite challenging spiritually, or there was anything else that was like challenging, I guess, in that time, which wouldn't be seen on the outside to someone looking in?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I think part of it is that I have tried to live my life authentically. I've tried to not pretend that everything is good when it's not. Mm. I cannot look back on the last. So I've been qualified as a lawyer now for 15 years. Years. And in that journey of working in government for over a decade, then leaving government to set up my own business, I have had many moments where I just thought, I'm not actually sure I can do this. And I think that that is common to so many people, where they think, I'm in this job, I'm doing this thing, I don't even know if I can really do this. This really feels hard.
Is this for you, Lloydette? Is this from a point of view of like your ability and your...
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Your ability to do the job. And lawyers, the biggest part of our role, I think, is number one, obviously paying attention to detail, knowing your clients, etc. But I think there's a huge part of it, which is about confidence.
Mm.
And you need to have confidence in order to make the right call. You need to have confidence to be able to make good decisions that enable you to advise your clients appropriately and effectively. But that takes time to build, and it just takes one or two incidents to knock your confidence, and you have to learn how to get back up. And so I wanted to preface this to say that there have been challenges along the way that have knocked my confidence, where I've thought, I'm not sure I can do this job.
Yeah.
But I think the most important part of that is not necessarily the challenge itself, but the ability to get back up. Because if I base it just on me and my ability, then I'm just human, right? I'm limited in so many ways. I cannot see everything. I can be a very good lawyer, but still not be fully effective. But for me, it was around, okay, God, even in this moment when I feel really inadequate, I'm going to have to lean on you. Holy Spirit, will you just come in and lead and guide me? Will you show me what I need to do? Will you show me how I need to answer this situation? Do you show me how to manage this challenge and hold my hand through it?
Mm.
And in that moment of surrender, you gain great strength and you recognize greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, when that scripture says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, we can say it rather glibly as if, you know, it's just something that rolls off our tongue. But actually there is deep, deep power in that and the ability to literally say, I don't know the answer to this. So Holy Spirit, I'm going to need you because you are the Spirit of truth and revelation. So you're going to have to show me how to do this thing. You're going to have to show me what I need to look at. You need to help me with the cases that are before me, to help me to be good at my job. Now, let me give you one example of that. When I qualified as a lawyer, so you have your training contract period and then you qualify. And it's supposed to be all sunshine and light. And what happened was my home government department was merged into another. So I ended up going to what was called the Crown Prosecution Service. And at the Crown Prosecution Service, the new lawyers, so the junior lawyers, in your first 6 months, 6 months to 8 months, you would go off to the road traffic courts.
Yeah.
So you were sent to Sidcup. Your offices are in Sidcup, not central London. And you had to prosecute in the road traffic courts. And I remember thinking, this is not what I signed up to do.
Yeah.
I have worked so hard to get to this point. But literally, I was told, it's either you take this job as a junior lawyer at the CPS, or you have no job. Right? Because you will not be able to go and work in the department that you want to work in. This is the only job that's available. And I thought, okay, that's fine. I'll do this job. It's okay. I still have my plan. I know where I want to be. I know that I want to be a lawyer that specializes in serious economic crime. I'll get there, but let me work this job. Anywho, I went off to Sidcup. and that's where our offices were based. And I remember being taken to court on my first day by one of my colleagues. And they said, this is what you need to do. You know, and they showed me my black bag where all my cases were for the day. And the person sort of showed me the ropes on day one. And then on day two, they said to me, okay, off you go. It's your job now. And go off and prosecute. What? Is that the training?
Right, okay.
3 hours? 4 hours? That's it? And you want me to go off and now prosecute people? And off I went. I went into the courts and I remember I would go to lots of different courts around London and be in court all day on my feet. And the difficult thing about that job was that it was literally like being thrown in the lion's den. You either sink and it was like there was no way. It's either you survive or you get eaten. There's no middle ground. There's no space for anything else. But in that moment of being thrown into this role that wasn't my ideal job, doing something that wasn't what I expected to be doing when I qualified, I saw God show up and show out because it allowed me to become an excellent advocate.
Yeah.
One thing I know about British people, and I will take this to the bank, is that they hate being called bad drivers. You can say, did you assault your wife? Yes, I did. I plead guilty. Did you steal this thing from the shop? Yes, I did. I plead guilty. Did you drive in a manner that means that you broke the law and therefore you're likely to attract points onto your license? They will fight to the death. they points on their license? My gosh. Oh no. Like, and so it was such an interesting place to work because you saw all types of people.
Yeah.
Everybody ends up in the road traffic courts, right? And you would have people who have hired like really expensive barristers to those who came and defended themselves. And it was this really interesting, high, fast-paced environment. And in that time, I saw my skills as a lawyer just literally, it was like a line, almost like a vertical line straight up.
Wow.
Because every time I literally submitted to the process. And on my way home from work, I remember I would sit back in the on the tube and think about, how did I do that day? What did I do well? What did I do not so well? How was I going to show up differently the next day at court? And God used that period of about 10 months working in the road traffic courts to literally shape me, almost like shape me in this fire. And so when I was able to then move on to doing something else, my advocacy skills were so sharp. My ability to think quickly was refined. My ability to look at a complex issue and break it down into simple terms was heightened. God had been shaping me and sharpening me in that time. Even when I would come home sometimes, lay on my sofa and cry and think, I really didn't sign up to be a road traffic lawyer.
Yeah.
This was not the grand plan. God was using that season to refine me for the next season.
Will you now take us into, because we have some knowledge of the next season. So you've done stage one and stage two with us. Will you talk us through stage three and four? Because this is where now it starts to slightly shift, doesn't it, in terms of gears, in terms of God calling you out into the space of starting your own business. And I don't want to steal the mic from you, but the one thing that we have learned is that there's a journey and there's a calling. And sometimes you think the calling looks like this and you get to that place and you think, yeah, I've arrived there and this must be it. But then actually then God says, okay, now let's take different corner. So we're still on the same journey. And I think your story is really interesting to now move away from the CPS into, being a founder and a CEO of your own global consulting company.
Yeah. So I think what I would preface that by saying is that, so I escaped road traffic after 10 months. I then spent time at the CPS working as a senior prosecutor. And then I got what was my dream job at the Serious Fraud Office as a principal investigative lawyer. This was my dream job. And but the funny thing is that before I even qualified, what I forgot to say was there was a time where the Lord said to me that I would only be a lawyer in the traditional sense for the short to midterm. He said, okay. You will only be a lawyer in the traditional sense for the short to midterm. And it's funny how sometimes when a word comes, you're like, okay, thank you, Lord. And you have no idea what it actually means. But I went to the Serious Fraud Office. I was doing the most fascinating work, working on global anti-corruption prosecutions and investigations. Just fascinating work, high profile work, really, really loving my role there.
Yeah.
And about, and I spent four and a half years working there. And about year three and a half, the Lord reminded me of this word that he had given me before I even qualified, that I would only be a lawyer in the traditional sense for the short to midterm.
Okay.
And then he said, the time is coming. And I was like, whoa, but Lord, I have my 5-year plan.
Yeah,
I have my 5-year plan for, I'm planning to go off and to scale the heights and hierarchy at the SFO and love to be director of the SFO one day. And, I've got a plan, because whenever I go into a job, I look at the next 5 years and I plan those 5 years. I'm very strategic. And then he started speaking into my heart and just brought to my remembrance this word about that I would only be a lawyer in the short to medium term. And then I looked at what the short to medium term mean. And I started thinking and I thought, I'm not ready for this. I've got a lot of things that I want to achieve in this job. I'm not ready, not ready at all. And there are times that God will call certain things to happen that will shift you. And so there was a situation that happened at work that really shifted my perspective. And all of a sudden I was now listening a bit more clear. I'm like, okay, God, you got my attention. You got my attention. What did you say again? And I remember saying to my husband, I said, I think that the time is coming for me to leave this role. And it wasn't because I no longer enjoyed the job. It wasn't because it wasn't fantastic work, which it was. But something had shifted in the atmosphere, in my spirit. And I remember my husband saying to me, and I said, I think the time is coming. And the first time I said it to him, he looked at me as if I'd grown a second head. We had just bought a new house. I think at that time, doubled our mortgage. And he said, what? And I said, this is what I think the Lord is saying to me.
Just very quickly, did you know what God meant by non-traditional? So did you know that it meant non-PAYE?
Not at all.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, is that I don't believe that, for me anyway, the way that God works with me, that he won't always show you what that next step looks like. Mm. But he will start to introduce things. Like, for example, the way that word came to me, it was, I had forgotten about that word completely. I was like, I'm the SFO, I'm living my best life, I'm doing this great role, I'm here, I'm doing things, right?
Yeah.
I'm in this really, really cool job that I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, one day the Lord said, remember that word I told you. I'm like, okay, right, let's, what does that mean then? And so anyway, I told my husband and I said, listen, this is what I believe the Lord is telling me. And then he was, looked at me, like I said, very shocked. And I said, you know what? I don't want you to react. What I want you to do is let's pray about it.
Yeah.
And we will not move on this until you have peace about it. And in that time of about a year, things shifted in his career in quite a dramatic fashion. That meant that, number one, our financial position changed and increased.
Yeah.
Which allowed me in that year to start to decrease my days. I actually went down to like four out of 5 days at the SFO. The Lord started connecting me up to people outside of my work. He started to shape the vision of what it might look like outside of this organization.
Hmm.
I remember my husband, it was maybe around April time of the year, I left to the SFO in 2017 when he said, and I said to him, I think the time has come. And he said, yeah, let's do this.
Okay.
And there I was. I handed in my notice and I left. But I left with such peace.
Yeah.
Such peace. And I can fast forward to today, having left that role 7 years ago, that I have never once looked back, even through, we'll talk a bit about some of those things that of this next phase,
yeah.
Even through all of those things where there's been many, many days of, I can't do this again. I have never once looked back on that time and thought I made a mistake. I have never once looked back at that time and thought, I wish I could go back to doing that job. Because when God moved me from that season, the door closed.
Yes.
And it closed with a finality that it has just never, ever come back into my mind to think, I wish I was doing that role or I made the wrong choice.
Wow. That line or the full stop had been clearly marked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. That doesn't mean that the next seven. And also the funny thing about it was my seventh year. I left after 7 years at that point in practice.
Mm.
And 7 years is, and I remember looking back at it and the Lord said to me, do you know what 7 years means?
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, this is really cool.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's, you know, the seventh year, if I remember correctly, is around perfection.
Yeah, and completion, yes.
And so I left after being in practice for 7 years. So I had 3 years, 2.5 years of training, and then 7 years practicing as a lawyer. And that was the point at which the Lord said, it's time to go.
So it kind of seemed like, I guess, at every step of your journey, you've kind of had like almost like a clear word from God or something to hold on to anchor you into the next season and to hold on to, which is amazing to be able to hear from God like that. Do you have any tips for people who don't feel like they hear so clearly from God and are navigating their careers and just feel like they don't really have that word to kind of hold on to. Is there anything that you would suggest or any tips that you would provide for people like that?
I think the first thing that I would say is the word of God says that those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And I think that so often we don't spend enough time waiting on God. That doesn't mean being immobile, but it means waiting on him with a certainty that God knows you and knows how to maneuver your life to get you to where you need to be.
Yeah.
And that, I think, sometimes means that you have to take steps, because I think that you can be in a place where you get a clear word about something and that allows you to move with boldness. But I think there are times and seasons when God will say to you, you know enough of me to know that I'm good.
Yeah.
You know enough of me to know that I'm faithful.
Right.
You know enough of me to know that I'm true. You know enough of me to know how much I love you.
Yeah.
You know enough of me, so go. And if you go, and even if you take the wrong step, be rest assured that as a good father, that I will, my grace will be sufficient for you. That even when you think I might have made the wrong turn, my grace will be sufficient for you in that place. And I think there are sometimes where we, it seems contradictory to say, wait on the Lord, but move. But I think that there is something in that, because even in the times when I've had a word from God about something, it still required me to take action. It required me to know enough of who God is to be able to say, well, even if I don't know the next step, because I will say to you that when the Lord said, because I think, Beulah, you asked me about, did I know what this next phase would look? I had no clue.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it wasn't like I had the certainty of the next phase. All I knew was that God had said this season had come to an end. So move. So we have to know enough of who God is to be able to allow us to make decisions based on the efficacy of his word.
Yeah.
And so you might get something where the Lord speaks to you audibly or places a word in your heart, or you might open up the Bible and it says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like eagles.
Yeah.
Or it may say that those that trust in the Lord shall never be put to shame. Right. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread.
Right, yeah.
It doesn't, sometimes we're waiting for this huge moment for God to clarify things for us, not knowing that in the word is everything that we need to be able to guide and direct our lives. And sometimes, God, you're in a season where God is saying, I'm not saying anything because I've already told you. I've told you that I love you. I told you that my plan for you is to prosper you and to bring you to an expected end. I've told you in Jeremiah that before you were even formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I called you.
Yeah.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
What more do you want? And you experience my love every single day. You wake up and there is breath in your body, life in your lungs. You go out of the house every day. You come back alive and well.
Yeah.
You have a roof over your head. What are you waiting for? You know my love for you is true. So move. And if it means that I have to redirect you at some point, then I'll do that.
Sure. Oda, can I hone in before we go into talking a little bit more about, I guess we've categorised it as the stage four of this non-traditional lawyer phase of your life. But you talked about, you know, speaking to your husband about the next season or where you felt God was leading you. And oftentimes, you know, many of us who are in relationship with others, whether that be our parents, our spouses, you know, to be able to tell them or to share with them what you feel God is instructing you or leading you to do, to move in, to be obedient to. How have you navigated this ever-changing seasons in your life with a life partner?
Sometimes it's tricky, to be frank. It can be tricky because you have to recognize that your revelation or what God has said to you, he might not have said to him, to them, you know. And I remember, and I'll bring this, I'll bring two perspectives to this. I'll bring one, which is my husband, and I'll bring one, which is my parents. Yeah. And I remember saying this to him. But what I think was critical in that moment was the ability to say to him, you go and get peace about this, and not try and force him or pressure him into a position of agreement with what I believe that God had said to me.
Okay.
I needed for him to gain a peace about the situation or the next stage of the journey that could only come from a conversation between him and God.
Hmm.
And so sometimes I think what we need to do is that we need to share that vision, but not expect that person to immediately say, yes, praise God, hallelujah, yes, let's go.
Yeah.
But recognize that sometimes they will be reluctant. Sometimes they'll be like, what on earth are you talking about? This is madness. Okay.
Hmm.
Or I completely and utterly disagree with you.
Right.
And it's okay for them to be in that place. And your job is to go to God and say, Lord, I believe that this is what you've told me to do.
Yeah.
Could you align us? Could you bring him to a place or bring them to a place where they, even if they don't agree, they're willing to come alongside me?
Yeah.
And that might take 6 months. That might take a year. That might take longer. But Lord, would you do what is needed in that time? And don't feel like you need them to agree with you today.
Yeah.
Because they haven't got the revelation or they haven't had that word from God. And sometimes there might be a beautiful synchronicity that happens where you say something and they go, oh my gosh, the Lord showed me in a dream, like Mary and Joseph, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's this beautiful synchronicity between, you know, the revelation and the message that came to Mary versus what the Lord then showed Joseph. But actually, for lots of people, there's a waiting point, there's a waiting season to allow, especially when it's your life partner, it's your husband. I did not feel that I could move until we were aligned.
Okay. Is that a piece of advice that you'd give to those that are with their life partners, that it's not a matter of, you know, God is telling me I'm just going to do this, you do you and catch up when you're ready?
Without a doubt. I would say that to move without your life partner, to move without the person that God has, that you are partnered with, without their coming alongside you, even if they're still a bit unsure, like, girl, what you doing?
Yeah.
What is this? But if they are not alongside you, you will not have the strength for the journey ahead. And I can say that without a shadow of doubt in my life and in the last 7 years of building Parametric Global, that without my husband's support,
yeah,
I simply would not have been able to keep going. There are many days in the journey of building a business from scratch with no contacts, no network, when I have gone, oh gosh, no, I just go and find myself another job. I never thought about going back to the SFO, by the way.
Yeah.
I'll go and find another job. There were lots of job opportunities that came up, by the way, also. And every single time when I felt I can't do this anymore, he would say, keep going. You got this. And it was the strength that I needed and that I still need today, by the way, because I'm still a work in progress. I'm certainly not at the point in my business where I think, yes, I've made it. We're good. We're 100%, etc. I still need his support and encouragement. He can't do this journey for me, but I absolutely need him alongside me in the moments where I feel unable to keep going. So I shared with my mom and my dad, and I said, this is what I'm thinking about doing. This is what I believe the Lord is leading me to do. And, you know, my dad was an entrepreneur himself for many, many years. And he said, go. God is with you. God will bless you. God will bless the works of your hands. Mm-hmm. He said, I know that you have counted the cost. I know that you and your husband know how you will manage this.
Yeah.
But if you believe that this is what you're supposed to do, go and do it. My mum, on the other hand, is someone who is much more cautious. And she said, how are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to pay your bills, girl?
That's just and mum looking out for you.
She was like, how are you going to do this?
Yeah.
Like, do you have a proper plan of action? And she was like, that is what, you know, I just want to make sure that you guys are going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the place that she was coming from. And I had to take both and make sure that we had some type of plan. But to be honest with you, that first stage, there was no clarity whatsoever. There was very little clarity. It was literally walking by faith day by day. And as I walked, the Lord began to clarify the vision. As I did stuff and stumbled and fell and bumped into things, he would pick me back up and say, okay, do this or do that.
Can I ask, actually, when you had stepped out into starting your business, is it fair for me to assume, like many startups, new businesses, entrepreneurs, you know, things don't just, you know, fly off to the moon and land amazingly well. There's the years of grafting. And in those years of grafting, when these other job opportunities came, that would have made life so much easier for you, because, you know, you're going to get that pay package every month, you'll have all the benefits that come through with work. How did you know to say no to those opportunities whilst you haven't necessarily seen the fruit of your sowing? You know, you're not in the good times and in the harvest now that you can say no to those opportunities. You're still in this season of sowing and in the wilderness and wondering, okay, God, where is the big break going to come from? And then you have this opportunity that would just make life a whole lot easier, right? And so how did you know to say no?
I didn't. If I'm being very honest, I didn't. Because there's a point that comes where there's a lot of pressure and you're thinking, I'm really trying this thing out, Lord. I'm a bit lost, but I'm doing what I think I should be doing, but I'm not quite sure what I'm and those opportunities. There was one opportunity that came up to a couple of opportunities came up actually around partnership at law firms.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I could go off and I could do this and I would earn a lot of more money than I'm earning now. And I'd be able to have a pay packet at the end of the month. And I thought, and there was a particular point, actually, it was when my daughter was transitioning to secondary school. Yeah. And so it was very much like, okay, you know, we got bills to pay. There's things that are coming up that are going to be pressuring our finances. So let me just start to go down this path and senior leadership roles in big companies. And let me just pursue this. And let's just see, because at the moment, Lord, I'm looking at the business and it's not really doing as much as I would like it to do. And the Lord just closed every door. That's my answer. He just closed every door. And when I say literally, like, you know, you've seen in those movies where the guy, there's a movie with Denzel Washington, and it's used as a meme now, where he literally slams the door. Like, and have you seen that meme where he's like, he just slams the door, right? That's what God just did in my face. Was like, stay where you are. Did I tell you to move?
Yeah.
Stay where you are. And literally everything that I went for, everything that I put my hat in the ring for, because I thought this could be the solution, the pressure that I'm feeling right now, something would happen and it would disappear. The opportunity would just disappear, like poof, gone.
Wow.
What on earth is happening to me? Because it's not like I'm not qualified for these roles. That's not the issue here. Literally, the opportunity would disappear. I was either conflicted for the role or they stopped recruiting, or it would just disappear.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. And even my mom was like, I think I need to pray and fast about this because there's something happening here. And I said, Mama, you don't need to pray about fast. It's okay. What's happening here? Because she really told me one day. She's like, I'm really worried. She's like, I'm really worried. Because I would tell her about these different things. And don't forget, she was the mom who was like, how are you going to pay your bills?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So she knew there were some pressures coming up. And so I was telling her that these are the things I'm putting my hat into the ring for. And then I would come back and say, well, actually, that opportunity didn't work, or this happened, or this happened. She was like, there is something happening there. I think I'm going to have to pray fast. Mm. And I had to just tell her, I said, Mama, it's okay, because I know what is happening here. And I had to go back to God and say, what are you doing? Stop it. Yeah. Like, I gotta get paid. Stop it. And he just literally kept me here. He's like, you're not moving. You're not going anywhere. I didn't send you anywhere. I put you here in this moment, in this season, for the purposes that I have for you that are not just for you, but that are connected to others.
Yeah.
And once I got over that of, I need to find a way to fix my problem. I need to find a way to provide, because I didn't trust that God was Jehovah Jireh. and that he would provide. I need to find a way to get a job that's going to pay the bills that I have coming up. Then the Lord started moving in a way that I had never expected.
Yeah.
And before I knew it, my business was doing what it was, what with the seeds that I had been sowing started to blossom. And more importantly, he not only started to strengthen the business up, but actually he said, here you go. When I talk about impact, I'm going to start putting you on the boards, put you in places where your voice will be heard.
Yeah.
And before I knew it, I was appointed as a commissioner for an arm's length body of the UK government. And it was like, oh, okay. Other things started coming up. And the Lord was like, stay the course.
Yeah.
Because I haven't sent you to go anywhere. And that moment, I did feel real panic. I felt real panic because I was like the reality of the bills versus this place that I'm in.
Right, yeah.
Something's got to give somehow.
Yeah.
But the Lord literally, like Denzel Washington, slammed the door in my face every time. And it wasn't once or twice. It was like four or five different opportunities in a very short period of time.
I know we're not supposed to make images of God, but now I'm seeing him as Denzel Washington.
Sorry.
That's great. That's so encouraging.
Sorry, Lord.
I know you mentioned just then about being on boards, which is something I found really interesting in your journey, is that now you actually sit on some very powerful boards. Do you find that God surprises you in the way he prompts you and speaks to you about how you should interact or things you should do in those rooms, in those spaces?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that, first of all, I thank God for those roles because it is all of him.
Yeah.
Because it says that it orders the footsteps of the righteous. And if I had looked back on my life at the when I left the SFA 7 years ago and thought that this is where I would be running this business and doing these roles, I wouldn't have even thought of them. But I want to say I thank God for each of them. And I thank God for the rooms that he has put me in where my voice can be heard.
Yeah.
One of the things that I do in me is that I do, before I go into board meetings, I do pray. I pray on the train up. You know, when I'm going to my meetings, I pray. I'm like, Holy Spirit, I need to decrease so that you can increase. And it'll be all of you working in and through me. Yeah. Will you give me wisdom? Will you give me insight? There are days that I feel totally out of my depth, right? We're talking about complex organizations, doing complex things with huge budgets. And you're like, you're reading your papers and you're thinking, oh my gosh. And then I say, Holy Spirit, I need you to show me what to say. I need you to help me. I need you to clarify this complex paper that I'm reading right now. Will you show me how to see what I need to see in it? So I so rely on God because I never want it to be that I think of myself more highly than I ought to. Because I know that the places that he has put me in, the things that I'm doing is because he is working in and through me.
Yeah.
And I never want to see these things as accolades that I carry as a badge of honor for me. Never. And I know that the day that I begin to see it that way, the Lord will remove those things from me. But I go into them knowing that I go in also with a real self-assurance, a deep sense of confidence that I'm called to be in this place. And that might sound a little contradictory because you're like, well, you rely on the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, I know what God has been building in and through me. I know the journey that I've been on, and I know it's for such a time as this. And so when I go into those rooms and when I'm having these conversations, I'm also deeply confident and self-assured that I am supposed to be in this room and my voice is supposed to be heard.
Yeah.
And when it comes to these scenarios and, you know, you're in these rooms, for example, and you know that God has called you to make a change, to have an impact in, you know, a God-given way, what about times, have there been any times when you've been in these spaces where you're not really seeing, you know, those things come to fruition, or you're having challenges kind of getting through to people in these rooms, And how do you, I guess, stay connected to your purpose when you can't really see that, you know, things are kind of improving? Because sometimes, I guess, systematic change can take time.
Yeah. The impact that you're wanting to make isn't quite...
I think, first of all, you have to understand, what does impact look like?
Yeah.
Is impact that I'm going to come into this room and I'm going to shake everybody up? Mm. Or is it that my very presence in this space, a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit, being in here and sitting around this board table and having been part of these discussions, that the atmosphere itself is changing around us? Is it that when I walk into that space and I share my views and opinions on an issue, that the Lord allows people's ears to hear me, even if they don't agree with me? Because impact isn't just about moving the needle on one thing or another. It's about the fact that we have been called, I believe, that as Christians, to be called to inhabit spaces.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so true.
And our very presence changes the atmosphere.
Mm.
And I was looking, actually, I've got like one of my appraisals coming up soon, and they were saying you have to get feedback from other people, so the executive team or your fellow board members. And I was reading some of the feedback that I had been given anonymously. And one of the things that was said by one of my colleagues, either executive or non-executive, you can't tell, where they were just saying that something along the lines of, I know that when she speaks, she always has something valuable to add to the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I would like her in the things, what would you like this person to do more of, this commissioner to do more of? The person said, I would like her to actually speak up a bit more, because whenever she speaks, she always brings a different perspective to it. And then another person said, she demonstrates a high level of integrity, and that shows up in how she engages. So what does impact look like?
Yeah.
We are called to occupy spaces and places and let God work in and through us. And it might not be that you can tell that person about Jesus, but by virtue of the fact that they've encountered you, they've seen what excellence looks like.
Yeah.
Seen what someone who loves God can do, regardless of the fact they might not be holding a Bible in their hand or standing on a pulpit. They've seen in and through your life what the love of God looks like.
Yes.
Because when you meet them and you greet them, and for me, when I go into our buildings, I greet everybody. I never look at it as, oh, you know, I'm a board member, etc. Who is this little person here? I am genuinely honoring everybody that I meet. That's impact.
Yeah. I think this brings me back to our first episode when we were talking about, you know, this huge topic of the will of God, purpose, calling, which can seem so big, right, for Christians to be like, what is the will of God for my life? What is his calling? And actually, ultimately, it is to be God to the world that he's placed us in. Yeah. And what does that love of Christ, that ultimately is the mandate, right, is to be the salt and light. Mm-hmm. And into that, you can drill into what God has called you in terms of your skills and the talents and the sectors and the industries that he places you in. But every single one of us, whether we know that specific calling yet or not, the calling is still very clear, which is to represent Christ in the world that he's placed us in at such a time as this. So that just really echoes what we were discussing in the first episode. And I guess in closing, Lloydette, on this conversation, I mean, there are 101 questions that spring to mind. But I wanted to ask that, Lloydette, now, if you were to speak to your 6-year-old self, 7-year-old self, when your grandma said, okay, if you want to argue, go and become a lawyer, and you look at your life now and all that's happened and all that lies ahead, do you feel like this is it? Do you feel like, okay, well, I've set out to achieve, to be what I said I was going to achieve in my stubbornness at 6 years old, and I've kept the faith, and, you know, in those challenging seasons, I've got this far, and I've done it, God, and we're here, and this is great. I mean, is there a stage 5 and a stage 6? Is that clear to you just yet, or?
Oh my goodness. It's like a stage 20 somewhere.
Yeah, possibly, so, yeah.
Because I think that when you, that there is never, first of all, I remember I said to you that I'm very strategic. Mm. And so there's a couple of, there's a few things that I think sometimes the Lord has to deal with me about, is that you know, I'm sitting here in the position that I'm in now. My business is growing. We're starting to move into a different level. I'm having these opportunities to have impact and have my voice heard in boardrooms. And I'm looking to the next phase of what both of those strands look like.
Yeah.
And sometimes we can be future focused that we're not able to sit in the present and recognize the journey that we've been on.
Mm.
And so I'm taking more time to be grateful to God for where I am absolutely right now.
Yeah.
And trusting him for the next phase of the journey, stage 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, because they will absolutely be all of those stages. I don't think that where I am now is the totality of what God has for me. And I wanted to pick on something that you said earlier on around purpose. Mm. And sometimes we think our purpose is a singular thing. It is not for me a singular thing. This is me.
Yeah.
It might be for some people. It is not a singular thing. And actually, I was at a board away day a couple of weeks ago, and I was saying to the deputy CEO, and one of the things that we were asked to do as part of this facilitated away day was we were asked to answer a couple of questions. And one of them was, who are you? What energizes you? Etc. And I had to share with her, and I shared with the group, we're in a group of three, and I said, my name is Loydette Baimaro. I am a Christian. I am a mother to three children.
Yeah.
And I believe that motherhood is a ministry. And so for me, part of my purpose on this earth, no matter the boardrooms I sit in now or will sit in the future, because I absolutely will sit in bigger rooms, on bigger boards than this, parametric will go from strength to strength. The business ventures that God has called me to put my hands into, they will grow.
Yeah.
But motherhood is a ministry, and it is a huge part of my purpose. And if I discard everything else, if I put aside all the things that God has allowed me to do in the seasons and that I'm in now and the seasons to come, at the core of it still for me will be the fact that I see motherhood as part of the thing that God has called me to do, which is to raise up another generation who will be salt and light in the earth, where their lights will not be hidden under a bushel, that my children will know who they are, not just because the fact that they're called by Maros, but they will know who they are in Christ Jesus, that they will never be confused about who they are.
Yeah.
Their identity is secure, that they will always have a place that they can call home in my house, that they will always know that they can come to me for guidance and for wisdom, that I will always be a listening ear to them, even when it annoys me. Mm-hmm. Motherhood is a ministry for me. And I am absolutely unashamed about that. And I will not compromise that for any level of success that the world has to offer. Never.
Yeah.
So my purpose is not just to be an influence and to make an impact out there in the world and have my voice heard, but my purpose is to make an impact inside of my home, that mm-hmm. my voice will be heard, that when the world is telling my children that they are X or Y or Z, that my voice and my husband's voice and the voice of the Lord will remind them of who they are,
yeah.
will remind them of how they're loved, will remind them of their purpose and the plan of God for their lives. That is part of my purpose.
Yeah.
Impact inside of these four walls and in the lives of these three children that God has blessed me with. If I do that right,
yeah,
everything else is extra.
It's a bonus.
The bonus.
That's so good.
I don't always get it right, by the way. This is a process, but I am determined.
Yeah.
So even when I travel the world and when I'm doing work, you know, I never stay in any jurisdiction that I have to be in for any longer than I have to be. People say, but why don't you stay and see the country? I got to get home.
Yeah.
I have to get home. So once I've done what I need to do there, I take the last flight in and I take the first flight out.
Yeah.
I don't have time to sit here and look at sights. I have to get home. I have children that are waiting for me.
Little people waiting for cuddles.
Little people waiting for cuddles, little people waiting for their hair to be braided, little people that are waiting to tell me about how football was, whatever, I have to get home.
Yeah.
Is it a juggle? Without a doubt. But if I fail in that ministry, then nothing else really matters, no matter what I achieve.
So in closing, we'll have to get you on when you're at stage 20.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Get you back here at stage 20. And then I'll be saying, you know, 40 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
But thank you so much. Thank you. This has been invaluable. And there were so many layers of preaching happening there as well that I'm sure our listeners are going to be energized, encouraged, and hopefully faith-filled after listening to your journey.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to be part of this journey that you guys are on, and I'm super excited to see the lives that will be changed and impacted and the encouragement. And I hope that all of your guests and all the things that you're sharing through this podcast, that there'll be people who will be able to say, I listened to something on a podcast by Beulah and Toyin, and it just sparked something in me, and it was exactly what I needed.
That's all we can ask God to do in and through all of this. So thank you for that. Thank you again.
Thanks, guys.